Aware of some things that are happening for all the men, we're going to have a breakfast of encouragement, or an encouragement breakfast, this Saturday at 8:30 a.m. So all the men that are 12 and up, 13 and up can come, and that'll be a great time. And then also, we're going to have a special guest this Sunday morning, Pastor Mark Strickland, who was my pastor for a few years in Tennessee. And Pastor Fiona and I, we sat under him for a few years and put a lot of things into our life. So he's going to be with us for the morning service. And then Sunday night, we're doing something very special. We don't normally have a Sunday night service, but we're going to have a Sunday night service, and it's called a Holy Ghost meeting. And you say, well, what's a Holy Ghost meeting? Well, when Pastor Mark had these meetings on Sunday nights, it was where I learned how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And there was just a period of time where they were having it because Rhema, Brother Hagin, was having Holy Ghost meetings. And so I just want to encourage you to come. I know it's an extra opportunity, but you know what? Sometimes God moves in not sometimes, but all the time on these special things. So I just want to encourage you to come and invite someone to come. It'll be a great time. And praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to go ahead and begin there. Hallelujah. I want to move my pulpit up a little bit. I think there's like a dead spot there. Hallelujah. We want a live spot, not a dead spot. I'm entitling this tonight, God's Good, Acceptable, and Perfect Will. And next Wednesday, I'm probably going to have a follow-up of the Holy Ghost meeting. So I have no idea what the Lord wants to do as of right now, but we're going to follow up with the Holy Ghost meeting next Wednesday as well. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, everybody say me, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, he tells us some things about God's will. Number one, it's good. Everybody say, God's will is good. All right, the Bible says that God is good. And it's acceptable. You know, God has a certain set of standards that are acceptable to him. And we have to, the way we measure ourselves is by his standards, not ours, right? Okay? And it's perfect. I say God's will is perfect. Now, there are two sides to God's will. There is the perfect will, which is complete. It's not missing anything. It doesn't have any ingredients missing. It is perfect. All right? This is the absolute what God wants. Then there is the permissive will of God. And God will allow you to have things that wasn't necessarily his very best. I'll give you an example. Was it God's will for Israel to have a natural king? No. But did he allow them to have a natural king? Yes, because they were crying and begging and begging and crying. He says, fine, okay, you're going to have a king. And the reason they wanted a king was to be like other nations. Not to be in the kingdom, but to be like other nations. So that was God's permissive will. Okay? Now, his blessings are limited in his permissive will. But in his perfect will, his blessings are not limited. All right? And the beauty of it is he lets you choose whether or not you're in the permissive will or in the perfect will. Okay? And notice this is all done by the mercies of God. How often do the mercies of God show up? Every day they're new, right? So every day we can take his mercy and we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. Okay? Amplified says, all your members and your faculties. All right? That's what we're to present to God, a living sacrifice. Aren't you glad that you're not a dead sacrifice? You're a living sacrifice. What are the acceptable terms unto God? Holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. Those are from the Amplified. Holy, devoted, consecrated, and that's holy, H-O-L, not W-H-O-L-L-Y. He says, do not be conformed to this world. And the Amplified says, to its external customs. Everybody say external. Now, external is the outward, right? See, now the world wants to make the outward the best looking thing and the inward not so good. But God turns that around. He wants the inward to be the best looking part. And then once your inward is good, then the outward will take care of itself. The inward will affect the outward. But the world has that in reverse. Okay? And how do we do this? He said you have to be transformed or changed. You have to have new ideas, new attitude. And so in order to get in God's will, the very first thing that you need to know to be in God's will is you got to have his new nature, all right? You got to have his life on the inside of you. Without the life of God, you're not going to find the will of God, all right? So you have to have his nature, and we get his nature at the new birth. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, the Bible says you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All right? And in order to operate and to be effective in the will of God, we've got to look at life differently. We have to have a different perspective, okay? You have to be willing to do the things the way God wants them done, okay? Because after all, it's according to his standard and not ours. All right, so your renewing of the mind is very important to operating in the will of God. You have to be willing to obey him. You have to be prepared to understand his precepts. All right, the greater you understand something, the more you can operate in it and the more effective you are in that, right? How many understand brushing their teeth? All right. We have a really good understanding of brushing our teeth. So we're really good at it. And we don't even have to think about it because it's just a habit. And here are some things that you have to have in order to operate or to find or to have God's will. You have to have a sincere love and appreciation for God's commands and his ways. You have to have a sincere love and appreciation for God's commands and his ways. You have to have a willingness to change and conform to his ways and to follow wholeheartedly after God. You know, if you're not willing to change, guess what? Your operating in the will of God is going to stop very abruptly. Anytime that we're unwilling to change, because if God is perfect and complete and he says, I'm the Lord God and I change not, then he shouldn't have to change, should he? And he doesn't have to, because everything he does is good, it's perfect, all right? But we do. So you have to have a willingness to change, and then you have to have a desire to live a life pleasing to God. You have to have a desire to please God. These are key elements in operating God's will, to have his good, acceptable, and perfect will in your life. All right? Then there has to be an acceptance of God's new nature and replace it with the old. You know, the Bible says, put on the new man, which is created in Christ in holiness and true righteousness. And then finally, you have to have an openness to investigate what God's will really is. How many times do people really find out what God's will is before they pray? Or is finding out what God's will is an afterthought? Oh God, what do you think about this? When you're already in pursuit of something and you never really took the time to find out what God's will is. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In regards to prayer, did you know that you cannot have faith beyond the knowledge of God's will? Your faith will not operate beyond your knowledge of God's will. You can't have faith beyond his will. All right? So if you're trying to believe for something that's beyond your knowledge of his will, it's not going to happen. It's not going to manifest, because we can't have faith beyond our knowledge of God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. He said, and this is the confidence that we have in him. Are you confident in him? Who is God to you? Shout it out. Who is God to you? Father? Who is he to you? Come on. Lord? Okay. Who is he to you? Salvation? Savior? Who is God? What was it? Mighty warrior? Who is God to you? Redeemer? What was that? Healer? Okay. All right. But sometimes we hear those things, but we don't really have knowledge of those things. But this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So is God in tune with his will? Where would you find God's will? In the Word, okay? When you ask anything according to Scripture, he hears you. You have his attention. When, you know, God is just waiting to hear his Word so that he can perform it. All right, isn't that what the Bible says? He is waiting to hear his Word so that he can perform it, okay? So if you ask anything according to his will, it's going to produce confidence and it's going to cause God to hear you. He hears you. And if we know that he hears us, how do you know that he hears us? Because you're asking in accordance to his will. In other words, you went to his will to find out what he thought about it, what his interests are in that, and you went to his will, and so you found it in his will. Now that gives you confidence to ask, and because it's according to his will, he hears you. And here's the power of it. And if we know that he hears us, we know that he hears us because we ask according to his will. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. How many want to know that they have? You know, if you have a problem in your life, let's say depression. You're just feeling kind of down, kind of low, all right? And you go to the word. Psalm 16:11 is a good one. In his presence is fullness of joy. Now, do you think if you had fullness of joy, is there any room for depression? Uh-uh. I'm sorry, but my joy container is so full that depression, there's no room for you. So guess what? You're going to let joy come in, and that's going to kick depression out. Okay? So you found it in his will. And you say, Lord, I thank you that in your presence is fullness of joy. Okay? So now you have confidence. You're going to walk away from that prayer having a whole lot more joy than what you had before you prayed. Why? Because you went to God's will. You found what it said about joy. And because you found it in his will, you know that whatever you find in his will, he's going to hear you, and you can leave with confidence knowing that you have whatsoever you asked. That is the power of having God's good and acceptable and perfect will in your life. Only God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Only God's will. What did Jesus live? He lived, not my will, but yours be done. Everything he did was in submission to God's will. God's will for him was to give his life a ransom for many. And he did it. He gave his life a ransom for many. Why? Because it was God's will. Was it his flesh's will? Does your flesh want to die? No. And some of the people who wanted to kill him before it was time, they it wasn't their will that he yielded to. But it was God's will. Okay? He operated in the perfect will of God. So God's will is good. God's will for your life is good. God will not will anything bad for you. He has no bad plans for you. He has no desire to knock you on the head. He might have a desire to shake you a little bit. But everything that God desires about you is good. Everything he wills for you is good. Okay? And that which pleases God is good. Go with me to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. This is just a beautiful picture of how awesome God's word is. Go down to verse 7, Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord, when he says the law of the Lord, what's he talking about? Are you there or have you gone home already? When he says the law of the Lord, what's he talking about? The word, very good. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Wow. Did you know that God's will is more valuable than gold? Than the best, finest gold that you could ever have? Why? Because gold is limited, but God's will is unlimited. It's eternal. God doesn't operate in time. Time is just for our benefit. And verse 11, moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Everybody say great reward. Okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And we're going to go down to verse 21, 22. Paul is finding that there are two laws that are at work in his life. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So there are actually two wills that work in us. One will is the will of the world that operates in the realm of the flesh. You know, if you let your flesh go, it'll go, won't it? You don't have to encourage your flesh to, here, have some more of this or have some more of that. We don't have to, because our flesh says, more, more, more. All right? But the law of God works in our spirits. And here's the beauty of it. We have a choice as to what law we operate in. Either the law of sin and death or the law of life in Christ Jesus. And what did Paul do? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He chose to let the law of the Lord be the one that he operates by. And every day we got to make that choice. Every day we have a choice. Are we going to present our bodies, living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service, that we might prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's good, acceptable, and perfect will has to be shown in our behavior, in our attitude, in our speech, in everyday living. That's where we prove God's will. Are you in God's will or not? Okay? Ephesians 5:10 says you got to find what pleases the Lord. How many know that if you're not looking what pleases the Lord, you're not going to find it, are you? You've got to diligently look to see, Lord, does this please you or does that please you? Does this please you or does that please? Lord, did those words that I said, do they please you? He'll let you know. You're not going to have to wonder what God thinks of whether what is right or what is not. If you ask him, he'll tell you, but you got to find. You've got to find what pleases the Lord. How do you find what pleases someone? Ask questions, spend time with them and observe. You notice, I notice that you like this. Or I notice that you're always wearing this color and I just wanted to bless you with something that's this color. So through relationship is how you find out what God's will is. Your relationship with the Word. Because if you know the will of God, whatsoever you ask will be given to you. Because it's based on the will. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You know, in order for you to operate in God's will, there has to be training. Operating in God's will does not come naturally. I wish it did. I wish God would just give it to us by osmosis. Say, Lord, Just fill me with your will. Just let me touch the Bible and know what your will is. But you have to train yourself. Verse 16. All scripture, everybody say all scripture. Is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. What is all scripture profitable for? For doctrine or teaching. For reproof. Say reproof. Say, I love reproof. But honestly, your flesh is saying, no, I don't. Don't say that. I don't love reproof. But is reproof part of training? If I ever hear a parent say, oh, for 18 years, I've never had to correct little Johnny. I don't think little Johnny's too good. I'm sorry, but everybody, say everybody. We all need to be corrected about something. All scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Another version uses instruction as training. Everybody say training. You have got to train your body to conform to God's will. Your body does not have a natural tendency to do God's will. But praise the Lord, you can make your body do anything. Sometimes your body doesn't want to pray. Sometimes it doesn't want to go to church. But guess what? You can make it do what God wants it to do. You can do it. Athletes train their bodies to do phenomenal things. They get up early, they lift weights, they exercise, they do their thing. Notice verse 17. Why should you train yourself in righteousness that the man of God may be perfect? Everybody say perfect. You're not going to be perfect unless you're doing God's will. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Okay? Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at Hebrews. Let's see what he's brewing. Look at verse 21. Well, go to verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Every believer has been given the same potential and the equipment and everything necessary to do what God wants you to do in any given moment, at any given time. It is God who furnishes you with the equipment. The name of Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the blood, the armor. He gives you everything you need to do His will. So if we have everything that we need to do His will, and we don't do His will, whose fault is it? Ours. That's like a boss telling you, I've given you everything you need to do your job, now do your job. Right? Okay. And in order to do God's will, you're going to need patience and endurance. Say patience and endurance. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, verse 36. For you have need of patience, and that word patience means endurance, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. How many has ever been in a position where, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do, but you didn't see the results? You ever been there? Lord, I did what you told me to do, but now where are the results? As if the results are instant. Okay, Lord, instant pudding. If I just do what you said, I'm going to have instant results. No, sometimes you need patience and endurance, which is a fruit of the Spirit, in order to receive the promise. Okay, yeah, you've done the will of God, but now how is your attitude after doing the will of God? Do you realize that Elijah suffered his greatest defeat right after his greatest victory? He defeated the prophets of Baal, but yet the next day, Jezebel sent him a letter and he ran and hid. He basically gave up his ministry because God said, he was sitting in the cave having a pity party. God said, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? You're not supposed to be here. So you got to have patience and endurance. And you know what? How do you build up patience and endurance and stamina? You train. I remember one time in my life, I ran a 4-mile race. Never again. No. I was maybe about 9 or 10, 11. I don't even remember how old I was. But we were going to enter this race. So my friends and I, we trained every night. Every night we were running. And each night, each next day, we ran a little bit further. A little bit further. Why? We were building up our endurance. I finished that race in about 40 to 50 minutes. I was doing like 10, 12-minute miles. As you can tell, I'm not much of a runner. I'd rather ride a bike. But my point is, I had to build up my stamina in order to finish the race. If I hadn't built up my stamina, if I hadn't trained, then if I'd have just entered that race, I could have injured myself. And so many Christians, believers, they don't take the training. They just want to get in to do God's will, and then they want quick, instant results. But you know what? Through faith and patience, endurance, you got to build up stamina. Okay? Now, how do we find God's will? Have you ever wondered how to find God's will? We know it's in the Word of God, but there are some things that the Bible tells us that we can do to help us find God's will. How many want to know how to find His will? Am I speaking to the right group tonight? Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. In my opinion, this is by far the greatest thing that you can do to find what God's will is for your life. This is, okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul is praying for the church. So you could pray to find out what God's will is. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it. Does it sound like he did this more than one day, more than one time? Sounds like he did this over and over and over again. Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him in all things, being strengthened with might in the inner man, being fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. So Paul is praying for the church of Colossae. I pray that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will is the beginning of faith. You can't have faith beyond your knowledge of his will. So you can pray for yourself. Father, I ask you to fill me with the knowledge of your will, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I might walk worthy of you, fully pleasing you. You see how I personalize that? So one way that you can find out God's will is you can pray. Everybody say pray. Young people, pray. ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? You know, he spoke to Samuel. When Samuel was a young boy in the temple, before he even knew how to hear God's voice, Samuel, Samuel, yes, Eli? Eli says, I didn't talk to you. Go back to bed. Okay? Samuel, Samuel, yes, Eli? See, he didn't even know what God's voice sounded like. It took Samuel 3 times, and Eli didn't even have a clue. And Eli was a priest. But his eyes had grown so dim. He had gotten away from... See, the further you get away from God's will, the harder it is to recognize it. And finally, Eli said, oh, it must be the Lord. Tell him, your servant is listening, speak. So you can pray. Go with me to Psalm 143:10. Psalm 143, verse 10. So one way that you can find the will of God is to pray and ask the Lord. Verse 10. Teach me to do thy will. What a concept. I don't know what I should do. Lord, can you teach me? Who did he give us as the greatest teacher in the world? The Holy Spirit. He even said he will teach you all things. He'll bring you into all truth. God assigned to every one of us a personal mentor, his Holy Spirit, who is with us right now, even as we speak. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Okay? So God will teach you. You know, teaching involves instruction. But in order for you to be taught, you got to be teachable. Right? If you don't receive reproof, then the teaching stops. You know what the Bible says? A person who doesn't receive correction, he calls them a four-letter word, a fool. Don't be a fool. There will be times when God corrects you, corrects behaviors, corrects attitudes. And for a person who is willing to conform to him, willing to change, willing to do what God wants them to do, you're going to receive that correction and you're going to make the necessary changes. But the person who thinks that they're okay, that they don't need correction, and you know what? You're going to get further and further away from God's will. You know what? A person who gets too far away from God's will becomes hardened. Pharaoh, the further he got away from God's will, the harder his heart became. Don't be like a Pharaoh. Don't wait to have something drastic or tragic occur in your life. When all the firstborn had to die, that was the only time that his eyes were opened to be willing to do what God wants done. He kept resisting and resisting and resisting. See, he resisted the little things first. Let my people go. Okay, no, I changed my mind. They're not going to go. Make their labor harder. The further he got away, the harder it was for him to discern God's will. You got to be teachable. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to correct you, to instruct you, to train you. Training is not always fun. People who train for these gold medals, they don't like, I'm sure that not everybody's excited about getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and training for 5 to 8 hours a day, and depending on what they do. They dedicate their lives, and that's just for a gold medal. We ought to be dedicating our lives for eternity. This is a bigger picture here. Listen, we're all going to stand before God's judgment seat. And he's going to ask you 2 things. What did you do with my son? Obviously, you accepted him if you're not at the great white throne judgment. Then secondly, he's going to say, did you do what I told you to do? did you be who I told you to be? No one else is going to be there. It's going to be us and God. And the truth is not going to be, I mean, that's going to determine your rewards in eternity. It's better to find out God's will now. You know, there is a point where we can get to that we can't go back. Moses got angry, and that disqualified him from getting into the promised land. And Moses had walked with God. He had seen miracles, but yet he struck the rock the second time. He was supposed to speak to it in front of the elders. And out of his anger, he got mad at the people. Whack! He whacked the rock. That's a tongue twister. What happened? He was disqualified. It's not about how many years you've been with the Lord. It's about your obedience to his will, period. You either obeyed and done his will or you didn't. And when you get to that point, it's too late to turn back. Moses could not enter the promised land. Go with me to John chapter 7. If you give me just a few minutes, I want to get through this portion here. I want to give you these tips to find God's will. John chapter 7, verse 17. Another way you find out what God's will is by simply doing it. Isn't that deep? Wow. Verse 17. Jesus is talking here. He says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak by myself. If you just put what God said into practice, that's another way to find his will. All right? Just do what the word says to do. Very simple. You'll find out exactly if it's God's will or not, just by simply doing it. That's deep, isn't it? Wow, I mean, if all I do is do it? Okay. And we already read Romans 12:2. Another way to find God's will is through changing and transforming. Say changing. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Notice that wasn't a suggestion. You might want to consider being transformed. No. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's up to you to have the good, acceptable, and perfect will. You do it by changing, transforming. Say, Lord, how can I improve? And you go to the Word and you find out, ooh, I can do that. And then you start doing it. And you see the change take place. Then you'll prove what God's will. Man, God told me this and I did it, and this is what happened. Go with me to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Here's another simple way. Did you notice that finding God's will is with simple words? Praying, teaching, doing, changing, and this is by discovery. I'm going to introduce you to the Discovery Spiritual Channel, or the Spiritual Discovery Channel. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and pleasing. And that word proving means showing. Find out what pleases God. And you can pray. Say, Lord, does this please you? You can read in his word and find out what pleases him. Very simple. Isn't that cool? We already have the tools that are right here. We don't have to go to Walmart and buy another tool. You don't have to order another tool. You already have the tools that you need to find out his will. And go down to verse 17. Another way to find out God's will is through understanding. What does he say? Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you're going around saying, I just don't know what the will of the Lord is. I just don't, you know what? Saying you don't know what the will of the Lord is isn't going to help you find it. But you can read through Proverbs. It talks about gaining understanding. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. So when you have a heart that fears God, you're going to want to do right. You got to develop an appetite for God's will. What's your favorite food? Someone say their favorite food. Pizza. What else? Steak. Where did you get an appetite for your favorite food? You tried it? You liked it? You want more of it? Well, you need to develop an appetite for God's will. Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." He developed an appetite. I tasted God's will, and I did it, and it was good, and I want more of it. Say that with me. Say, I tasted it. It was good. I did it, and I want more. That's how you develop an appetite for God's will. And go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Another way to discover God's will is it comes from inwardly, not outwardly. He says this, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord, not men. So when you're serving, who are you really serving? I want to please my boss. Wrong answer. I want to please this person. Wrong answer. You have to do it as unto the Lord. So finding God's will, you have to do it from the inside out. With your heart, not your head. To thine own heart be true. Not to thine own head be true. Listen, your head has all your emotions and feelings. But the heart, the hidden man of the heart, your spirit, that's what I'm talking about. Not talking about your physical thing that, ba-dum, 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 not talking about that. But what I'm talking about, the spirit, inwardly, from the heart, from inside. That's what I'm talking about. So in order to find God's will, you got to pray. Fill me with the knowledge of your will. If you ask the Lord to fill me with the knowledge of the will, what do you think he's going to do? He's going to go like this. Open up. I'm going to pour it right in. Then you need to be taught God's will. You need to allow the Lord. He said he will teach you to do his will. You need to do it. If you do it, you'll find out whose will it really is. If it's God or not. You need to be changed and transformed. You have to, it's a discovery. You got to find out what pleases God. Seek him first. Seek, seek, seek. And you've got to get understanding. You got to understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, if you're being taught, if you're praying, you're going to understand what his will is. There's no question about what God's will is. Now, God's not going to, you know what? You don't have to say, Lord, what do you will that I should wear today? Clothes? You know? Lord, what should I eat? Whatever you're hungry for. There's some things you don't need to find what God's will is. He gives you the general will, okay? Then he'll give you layers or levels of that will. In other words, he'll add more specifics sometimes. He'll tell you what you need to know, when you need to know it. Amen? So, I want you to actively pursue God's will. I want you to have that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. There's a will of God for you. There's a will of God for your family. There's a will of God for your church and your community. There's a will of God for this nation. This nation has gotten away from what God wills. But praise the Lord, we're still a nation and we can get back to that. It only takes one person to make a big difference. You don't have to. One person can make a big difference. Amen? So, Father, I just thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you plant it in our hearts and we receive it and we take it to heart and we do it. And, Lord, I just thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will bring us into all truth regarding your will for us personally, for our families, for our church, for our nation, for our communities. And Lord, we will be doers of your word. And when we stand before you on that day, we'll hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into joy today in Jesus' name. Amen." Lord bless you and have a fantastic day.